so I'm 25. And so we'll pick up tonight, Psalm 25 and verse number 1. The Bible says this, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not mine enemies triumph over me." You might be singing it in your mind right now. Some have put these words right here to song, and they are. They're good words to be put to song. Verse 3, "Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause." Father, thank you for your word. Father, pray you help us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the words we've already heard, dear God, and Lord, the songs we've sung. Please, Lord, just bless the time that we have together here tonight. Honor your word. May we be yielded and obedient. Have thy way and will, Father. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Okay. Psalm 25, verse 1. "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." Now, it is said that there are 7 alphabetical and acrostic type psalms in the book of Psalms. And this is said to be the first one. The others are said to be Psalm 34, Psalm 37, Psalm 111, Psalm 112, Psalm 119, and Psalm 145. Now listen, hold on a minute. We don't see that there in, you know, what we've got here in our English. Now look, hold on a minute. You know, if you know anything about me, you know that I do not believe you need to go to Greek or Hebrew to understand that book and get what you need. You understand that? But that being said, with the Hebrew language, when they have their psalms in their Hebrew Bible, like that, it's kind of like an alphabetical thing, an acrostic kind of thing. Well, that's neat. That's neat. But now listen to me. Listen to me. That's not talking about getting anything out of that you're missing by having it in English. Yea, verily. Yea, verily. There are things that English gives you that Greek and Hebrew is not going to give. And I believe that. I just believe that. I really do. Now, that being said, but you know something? So listen to me real good. Here's an example, word-wise, that got born out people-wise. And let me explain what I mean. That's a neat little thing. That, you know what? That kind of like Psalm 119, it goes through the Hebrew alphabet, you know, and it's done evidently the same kind of thing. Oh, that's a neat little thing. Listen to me. You know how this thing was supposed to work? But see, that's a neat little thing in the Hebrew language, but you know what? There are things in the English that you ain't going to get other than that. You know how this thing was supposed to work? The Jews were supposed to get saved and supposed to help us Gentiles. They're supposed to help us. Because see, look here, when you go through, there are things, look, if you're a Jew and you are read the New Testament, there are things that are going to leap out at you because you're like, whoa, I know what that is dealing with, man. You know, he said that because of this. They're going to know that. When they read after the Passover supper and they went out and sang a hymn, a Jew will say, well, I know what that hymn would be. I know what Psalms would be. So they were supposed to bring that stuff into us, all right? But that's not how it worked out. And so it didn't work out that way. And you know something, brethren? See, here we were Gentiles. Now, and by the way, when I say this, do not allow yourself to fall prey. But you know how much I love the Jewish people. You know how much I love the nation. You know how much I love those things. But be careful, because many saints, what happens is many saints today get so involved in our Hebrew roots, they neglect what's in that book. And the Hebrew roots they're going back to often gets into Kabbalah and gets into stuff that's not correct. You better be careful about it. You better be careful. You better love those Jews and realize some of the rich things that they know about concerning the feast and the different things that are rich and good, but know how to eat the fruit, throw away the peel. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Now, that being said, brethren, look here. You take when over there in the Bible, when John says, you know, my joy is to hear the bridegroom's voice. A Jew would understand that. He knows exactly what's being talked about there. You and I got to kind of study that thing and learn about Jew. They know exactly what that thing is. They understand how that Jewish wedding goes. When Jesus goes and says, in my Father's house are many mansions, I go to prepare a place for you. A Jew would know, hey, I know what he's talking about. That's a wedding, man. That's a wedding. That's a wedding. That's what the Jewish bridegroom would do. At the Lord's Supper, when he says, I'll not drink this, when he took that cup, I'll not drink it again when I drink it new in my Father's kingdom. That's the two cups of the Jewish wedding ceremony, the Erusin and the Suin, the two parts of it. A Jew would understand that. Well, okay, that's great. See, they were supposed to bring that stuff into us and show us Gentiles. And there's some things they could get from us too. And even today, Brethren, if a Jew gets saved, he ought to join a Bible-believing church. He should not keep himself separated with that wall up in a messianic assembly or nothing like that. No, sir. He should, because you know what? There's some neat things concerning things that you read in here that they could give us to be a blessing. And listen, there's things you and I could give them, because come on, where's the Holy Spirit been working at for the last 2,000 years? Okay, exactly. Made up mainly of Gentiles. See, they need to swallow their pride to get that. Just like a Gentile would need to swallow his pride and say, hey, you know what? He's got a slant on some things I could probably benefit from too. Really? That's how it ought to be. But sadly, like so many things that God intended to be right, man fouls it all up. And it's a perfect example of that. Let me give you something else. You take that verse over there in James that we use so often and use it right. We use it right. Where about thou believest there is one God, thou doest well, the devils also believe and tremble. That's good. We use it right. Nothing wrong with that. But you know, in James 1 verse 1, that's just to the 12 tribes scattered abroad, right? So we use it and it's fine. We're correct to use it. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you where that thing really hits home at. Thou believest that there is one God. Listen, do you know what's on a dying Orthodox Jew's breath when he departs his life? Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Listen, there in those ovens, that's what they were crying out. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. They're right. That's numbers. It's true. But they think that just because I believe in the one true God, I'm okay. And they're not. Because they don't know him in truth. And they don't know the existence of the three persons of the Godhead. So when James writes that, yes, we use it and we're right to use it. But let me tell you who that thing really is mainly for. It's those Jews, bud. They're the one. Thou believest that there is one God. That really hits them, man. Because on their dying, I was reading about somebody the other day. The grandpa, somebody died. And as he was dying, the Shema, that's what they call it, the Shema. That's what was on his lips. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, the Lord. God is one. Well, that's true. But that's not going to get you to the other side. That's not going to do it. So what I'm saying is, brethren, there are a lot of things there that man would really reach out and grab them and they could see and be a blessing to us. But they rejected Christ. And so often today when they receive Christ, and I believe me, I really do, but what happens is they keep up that wall and join a messianic congregation and they don't get what they need because they need to be in a Bible-believing church. Letting their Jewish redeemed self now get taught by a Gentile pastor. I mean, really, they do. And it's pride sometimes on the Gentile side and pride on the Jew side that messes things up. Don't let it happen. It just reminded me of that when I bring that point up right here. So notice now, look what it says in Psalm 25 verse 1. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Now a person may lift up their eyes. A person may lift up their mouth. A person may lift up their hands to the Lord. And you read that in the Bible. You read about holy hands lifted up. You read the Bible about lips and mouths being lifted up to the Lord, our eyes looking up. But I'm going to tell you something. You may lift those things up without ever lifting up your soul. But when the soul is lifted up, the members will follow. Understand? When you lift up your soul to the Lord, well, those hands will get lifted up sometime soon. Your eyes will be lifted up. Your mouth will be lifted up in praise. A lot of people lift those parts up, but not with their soul, not with their innermost being. They don't. They're just going through the motions. They're just doing it. But let me tell you something. If you ever really lift up your soul to the Lord, something outwardly is going to follow. Just has to. You know, some sacrifices were literally lifted up to the Lord. Go to Leviticus 10. Leviticus 10. You know, I'll tell you something, brother. The longer I live, the longer I'm saved, that King James Bible astounds me. It just does. And I'm sure you, as you spend time in it, the same thing does for you. That boy, it's got everything pegged. And everything that goes on out here is just the powers of darkness trying to put a different slant on something God's already set up. You know, take your Bible. Leviticus 10, look at verse 15. The heave shoulder and the wave breast shall they bring with the offerings made by fire of the fat to wave it for a wave offering before the Lord. And it should be thine and thy sons with thee by statute forever as the Lord hath commanded. Here were some sacrifices that were lifted up. They were heaved up. They were waved. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. Brethren, is that not what happens today in stadiums across this land? Brethren, pretty soon, you know, they're going to start the football season, the college world, and you know what's going to happen up? Heave and wave offerings. They're going to be heaving. It'll go around the stadium. You know? Think about it. It's the truth. It blows my mind, but it really is. Those hands get waved up. Something will be put on those hands, either whatever the symbol of their team is, or whatever like that thing. That's what God's people here did. There was a wave offering. There was a heave offering. It was put on their hands. The priest's hand was put on. It was lifted up. Well, brother, look here. There's some things, you know, that we should lift up to the Lord. Above all, lift up your soul to the Lord. Listen, lift up yourself to God in worship and service. Lift up yourself to God in worship and service. The inward part of you, not just the outward. Your whole being. Brother, how many of us, there was times in our lives that we really got out of ourselves for this world. We were not ashamed to get out of ourselves for this world. We would stand out. But it's like somebody gets saved and it's like cold water gets poured all over them and they just will not. Because you know what? Well, I'm telling you, brethren, listen, I understand the excess and the wrong spirit of the modern day charismatic. I understand that. But at the same time, you must be careful to not reject the true because of the false. But I've heard of churches. I know of churches, right? I know of brothers who were guilty of this and they repented of it, but to where everything became a joke. If somebody even was to lift up their hand to the Lord and say, I'll get a little Pentecostal here. Listen, that's stop that. Stop that. What's wrong with you? That was out of place. That was wrong. Why did you say that? Listen, look here. Yeah, okay, there's an excess out there that's wrong. But worship of God is correct and right. Amen. It just is. You can't get away from that thing. Old and New Testament, you just can't. But you know what? That's nothing. Listen, don't you ever go around and look at some other brother and go, oh, boy, we're trying to be spiritual, aren't we? Well, what's he supposed to be, carnal? Huh? I've never understood that thing. Oh, you're trying to be spiritual? Well, I hope so. But I have heard brothers before. I haven't heard it here. I hadn't. I don't ever want to hear. But I've heard brothers say, oh, you're pretty spiritual here, aren't you? I was like, what's wrong with you? Great, I'll just get carnal then. Is that what you want? Listen, those aren't things to be taken lightly. God expects us to be spiritual. We are to be. There are things that are right. And they're not to be taken lightly. And they're not to be made fun of. Serious things. And you know what? The thing about it is, there's somebody. You know, I wonder how many fresh believers in the Lord got squelched, and I mean put down in a cage, man, by an older believer with those kind of attitudes. Amen. And just got and took them for who knows how long, if they ever did get back on the good road they were on. Look here, to lift up anything, you have to. I'll do something. To lift up anything, and we all know this. To lift up anything, you have to get low to get underneath it or to get where it is. I don't care what it is. If you're going to lift it up, you're going to have to get low on it, underneath it. You're going to have to lower yourself some if you're going to lift anything. Now, that's just the way it is, all right? Well, it's the same thing of lifting up your soul. To lift up your soul to the Lord, you must first humble yourself. It's prerequisite. If you're going to lift up your soul to the Lord, you've got to humble yourself. Take your Bible, go to Habakkuk 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk 2. Habakkuk 2, verse 4. Habakkuk 2, verse 4. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. But the just shall live by his faith. Now notice that. Now here's something about a soul being lifted up, but it's not upright in him. Well, listen, here's the difference. There's a difference between lifting up your soul to the Lord versus lifting up your soul for any other reason. Listen, to lift up your soul to any person or purpose other than the Lord betrays underlying self-will and pride. Because to lift up your soul to the Lord takes humility and faith. It really does. It's interesting. Because listen, to lift up your soul to the Lord is going to take humility. But if you get lifted up in pride, if you lift up yourself to any other thing, there's some pride in that thing. There's some self-will in it. But if you lift up your soul to the Lord, it took, you listen, you had to humble down to do that. Go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. It took humility and faith. Humility and faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6. I know you know the verses, but look, Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now keep that in mind about faith and humility. Because back in Proverbs 25, verse 1, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Look at it at verse 2. O my God, I trust in thee. So think about that. He just, in verse 1, talked about lifting up his soul. In verse 2, he says, oh my God, I trust in thee. What did we read in Habakkuk? His soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Listen, as just stated above, to lift up one's soul unto God, it takes faith. A trust that God is, and that he will not fail you, that he is as good as his Word. Understand that. It takes humility. It takes faith. See, David says he trusts in the Lord. Oh, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Oh, my God, I trust in thee. Well, in whom do you trust? Seriously, brother. Just answer it in your heart tonight. Now, look, you know what? A man can trust God in one area and not trust God in another. That's just the truth. You see it with Abraham. But look at Abraham. That man could step out of Ur of the Chaldees. The Lord could bring him forth abroad and say, Abraham, see those stars? Yes, Lord. I'm going to multiply your seed like them. Lord, I believe you. You believe that? Lord, I believe you. Yet when it comes to who's that? Well, it's just my sister. Brethren, it's the same thing with Elijah. But the Bible shows us the man all the way through, right? And listen, you can have great faith in one area and not so great in faith in another. So be careful. Be careful before you get on your high horse and disdaining someone for their lack of faith. Because you know what? There could be an element in their life that they could blow your doors off with, really, in faith in that area. But they have a little trouble in this. And we're all like that. Amen. They are. And we need to ask God to help us in those areas. We just don't have faith. Isn't it amazing? Here's a man that could pray fire down from heaven. Here's a man that could go and put his head between his knees and say, go look seven times, and there comes a cloud. Here's a man that could do, and then a woman says, I will kill you by this time tomorrow. I'm out of here. But there it is. There it is. But how, I mean, it's just, would you see it, you know, all the way through the scriptures? You know, you just see those kind of things. And that's any and all of us. So, brother, look here, you know, when you've, thank the Lord. You've shown some faith in something. Praise the Lord. But ask God to help you on those areas that you're aware of, maybe you're not even aware of, to where it'd be a harder matter. Okay? Look here. So, look at this. Who do you trust? Go to Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17. Who do you trust? Jeremiah 17. David says, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief, huh? That's it. That's it. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places of in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Boy, I mean, you just see it, right? There's Asa. You know, here comes the Ethiopians. Lord, looking to you. That's good. And God lets things go on for a number of years. And then comes another test. And this time, a group of troops from a different place and can't handle it. Got to hire the Syrians. And you know something? When the Lord got on to him about it, his stubborn pride, Lord help us, his stubborn pride would not let him humble down. But he got an attitude about that thing. Literally, almost sucked his thumb. And when he's got disease in his feet, he wouldn't even go to the Lord about it. Went to the physicians. It's sad. Asa was a good king. This was toward the latter part of his reign. Y'all listen. We're not done till we draw that last breath. And if you've passed tests earlier, great. Learn from it. But there's more to come. There are more to come. And oh, what a blessed day where we can lay the armor by and be done. Amen. And enter those portals. But until that time, you will never have a time that you can lay aside the armor. Nope. There's never going to be a time that you can coast. It's not going to happen. All right? And those times will come. And just because you passed a test earlier in your life, earlier in your year, earlier in the week, just because you passed a test earlier on, doesn't mean you're going to do so with this one coming up. Take it all just as it comes up. All right? Look here. Go back now to Psalm 25. Trusting God. David says trusting God. Trusting God means not merely trusting His power. I want you to hear this. But it means trusting His goodness. You see, listen. The enemy will not so much slander the Lord's power to you as he will slander His goodness to you. You understand me? Brother, there's countless saints who will tell you, I know and I believe God can do all things. I still believe He'll do it for me. Come on, some of you in this room, you ain't got to admit it. You ain't got to tell it to me. I know it's so. You believe God answers prayers, you still think He'll answer yours. You believe God's good, you just don't think you're worthy of Him doing you good. And who is? But you know what I'm saying? Well, I'm telling you, the devil will take, and it's not so very often, that's not so much doubting His power, it's doubting that He would invoke that power on your behalf. Not that He's not good, but that He'd be good to you. It's those other, you know, those super Christians out there. It's those out there that, they're really walking with God, you know. Not you. Y'all. Listen. If you knew the people that are hanging on by thread, people sometimes that you are looking to and they're a blessing to you and an inspiration, praise God. That's good. Nothing wrong with that. But let me tell you something. Sometimes they're hanging on by thread. Seriously. I'm just being as honest with you. Brethren, I've noticed through the years of pastoring, I've watched. Well, somebody would say, you know, Brother Dawes, if I had the old best so-and-so, you know, boy, they just got it together, you know. I just wish, and I've had it. That same person will say, you know, Brother Dawes, that person, if I could just have it together. And each one of them, think of the other, is such a stalwart of the faith. And I'm really, listen, the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Yes, sir. And that's just truth, all right. And sometimes, brethren, look here. Are you kidding me, man? Man, look at all saints. If they're born again, they're facing the same struggles. No new thing under the sun. There may be some different packaging, but there's no new thing under the sun. And sometimes it's folks just hanging on. Let me tell you something. You might think, well, I'm sure everybody prays for that person. You'd be surprised. God put them on your heart. You better pray for them. Well, I'm sure they're getting prayers from everybody all over. You might be surprised. Pray for them. Don't take and assume things like that. Look here. I'm telling you, brother, sometimes the enemy will not try to get you to slander not the Lord's power, but his goodness to you. You know what He can do. You just don't believe He will do it for you. Because you just don't feel worthy of it. Well, you're not. No, I'm not. It's Christ. Yes, sir. It's Christ. Yes, sir. Okay, is there anything God telling you needs to be gotten right now? No, preacher, I just... I really don't. I mean, I know that daily, of course, right. Daily you got to, you know, trim the wicks, and daily you got to wash your feet and your hands as a priest. I understand that. But say, no, preacher, I don't think there's anything, any, okay then, fine. Then march on. March on. Why should he not hear your prayers? Why should not those promises apply to you? Is there some known sin that needs to be taken care of? No, preacher, I don't sin. Okay, fine. Then you're making yourself easy prey for the enemy. He's not having to do anything. You're doing it to yourself. You're discouraging yourself. The devil's not having to marshal too much about against you because you're doing it to yourself. Remember what I said today? Any opponent always knows if I can get you to defeat yourself by discouragement, then that's way a lot easier than battle. Don't you understand that the devil really doesn't want to do battle? If he can accomplish it by discouragement, that's better. And have you willed that book against him? Huh? Have you resist him where he must flee? What? That'll get you good and discouraged. Get you good and despondent. You defeat yourself. But look here, that's because we turn inward. Introspection is good to a point. You need to examine yourself. But listen, when thinking starts becoming brooding, I'll say it again, when thinking starts becoming brooding and it's no longer constructive, you better stop it. It's time then to trust and do. Okay? Granted, a lot of saints don't do any introspection. They don't examine themselves at all. All right? But, for sure. But, if you're not careful, you can do so much of it that you've got yourself in a rut now, right? Introspection is fine. But if it's not led anywhere, because God always leads to something. He didn't leave you hanging with this vague thing over you. Listen, when God leads to something. If he's not led to anything that needs to be taken care of, okay, quit thinking. Trust him and go on and act. When thinking becomes brooding, it's no longer, listen, that's time to stop it then, all right? You know, but brethren, often it's not just we want what we want, and we want it when we want it. God help us. We do, you know. This is what I want, but not just that. This is when I want it. Make your petitions, that's fine, but trust in God. Amen. Trust in God, and he's good. Listen, y'all, look here. Listen. God gave his son for you. God gave his son for you and I. Amen. He's for you. Yes. He's for you. He's not forgot about you. Loves you more than you love yourself. He's more concerned about you finishing your course than you are. Seriously. He gave his son for you. I said something like, a sparrow don't fall to the ground, but God don't know it. Amen. And you're his child? Come on. He's concerned. Well, why didn't he, I want to feel something. I want to, whoa. Early on when you got saved, you needed some of that maybe. Because you're brand new, you know. But there comes a point God wants you to take him at his word and say, you said it, Lord. Amen. I believe you. Whether I feel it or not, or whether I have a good, Lord, you said it and I trust you. You're not the author of confusion. So, that's honoring to God. That's honoring to God to where he can. I don't know. I know he pointed out Job. Wouldn't it be blessed if the Lord say, yeah. They're discouraged. They don't feel my presence. But they believe my word. Look at that. Watch them. Watch them go. As the enemy assaults you and says, where's God? And you say, well, his word says this. You don't believe that. You don't a bit more feel that. You're just saying that. Whatever, it's true. I think the Lord don't see that thing. Think he didn't see the things. He said, look, they would love to have my presence right now. They would love to feel the closeness of my, but they're taking me in my word and they're trusting me and they're going on. It's honoring to God. It's honoring to God. It's a way of growth. It's a way of becoming strong. It's a way of pleasing the Lord. But it's not what we like. It's not what we like. Really it. But brethren, how many of you would like as your child got older to continually have to run and go grab their hand? At 17? You understand what I'm saying? There's a time for it that's understandable. But then there's a time for it, it's like, whoa. You know. Did you ever stop to think? Did you ever stop to think that the Lord was perhaps not longing even more than you to want to come to you in such a way to enjoy that close fellowship, but He knows it's best for you, that He holds back so that you can get stronger? Amen. He's a good Father, for sure. He's willing to hold back to make us strong. And if you think, well, I just want to sense His presence, you think He wouldn't like to do that for you also? And did the, huh? But His love will often hold that back. But it's not always sin that's holding it back. Sometimes it is, but I think you'll know that. You should. And when it's not that, God's got a purpose in that thing. Trust Him. One of the old saints talked about that we must trust in a withdrawing God. We've got to trust at times in a withdrawing God. A God that withdraws because He's trying to do something for us and perfect us and strengthen us. We've got to trust that. And He gave us His word. All right, look here, real quick. Look here. Listen, and also, make sure all throughout, make sure you're not in the way of the answered prayer. If you are, correct the thing. Real quick, look what it says in verse 2. Oh my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let me not be ashamed. What's David talking about? Well, it's kind of like this. Basically, it's as if David is saying this. Lord, I have stepped out on a limb, as it were. I have stepped out in faith and trust. Lord, don't let me be ashamed like those who trust in idols that cannot deliver. I mean, how do you think Sennacherib felt? What happened? I mean, you put your trust. How about those prophets of Baal? Hear us, O Baal! O Baal, hear us! Nothing. I mean, buddy, they've stepped out, so to speak. They put themselves out there and they've been left high and dry. David's like, Lord, I put my trust in You. And he's not talking about just something he says. David has done it by his actions. He stepped out there. He stepped out on that limb. Lord, don't let me be ashamed. In the sense of, Lord, don't let me, oh God, don't let me with a fallen face have people say to me, where's your God at, David? Where's your God at? You trusted Him. Lord, let me not be ashamed. You know what the word ashamed means in the dictionary? It means confused by the mortification of pride, by failure or disappointment. Again, Habakkuk chapter 2. All right? Habakkuk chapter 2. His soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. If we lift up ourselves in any manner of pride, other than lifting up ourselves unto the Lord, we will come away with shame of face. If you're doing anything, even doing it as unto the Lord, but you're doing it out of pride, you're going to come away with shame of face. You've probably heard the story, but it bears repeating here again, about the young man, supposedly, who was called to preach and told his pastor when he wanted to preach, which is amazing, which is really absolutely amazing. This has to be just a pulled out of the air illustration, because surely the man would have said, young man, I'll tell you when God tells me you can, and not until. But yes, maybe his family had a lot of influence. I don't know. Supposedly, the story went that he let him do it. And young man strides up to the pulpit with a Bible in his arm, you know, makes the critical turn. Nothing. Nothing. Supposedly, all he could do was stand there and weep. Just weep. Had to come down. And the story goes that some wise old lady, you always got to have them around, you know, comes up to him afterwards and says, young fella, if you'd have gone up like you come down, you could have come down like you went up. There's a lot of truth in that thing. Look here, just because something is spiritual on the outward part and could even be a right thing, but what's the motive for it? Y'all, let me tell you something. I told y'all what I believe, and I do believe this. I don't care if God puts you across Richard Dawkins' path, you know, that, you know, Mr. Evolutionist there, I don't care if he puts you across his path or what's the other fellow? Hawking, Stephen Hawking, or anybody's path. If you have an humble attitude and walk with God, and God has ordained the thing and let it fall out, you know, you wouldn't try to, you know, I don't believe God lets you get in over your head. I don't believe it. I believe just like Stephen, the spirit that you would speak with, the power of God upon you would not be able to be resisted. I believe that. I don't believe God lets you get in over your head. I believe you could stand toe-to-toe with any entity on this earth if you're humbled down and believe God and His Word. But you lift yourself up. And there's somebody's at work like, oh, I got this one. Son, you are going to come away with your tail tucked between your legs. That joker's going to pull some question out you never even thought of, and you're going to stand going, And then you probably go, because and then you're going to get nasty, because when you lose the thing and you know you're wrong, you get nasty. And you're going to be embarrassed. And I believe that. I really do. I believe you walk with God, you ain't going to get over your head. You'll be fine. You keep humble. You just read the book and study the book and love the book and love God. I believe God will let you get in over your head. You'll be fine, no matter who it is. But you lift up yourself in any bit of pride, you won't handle nothing. A four-year-old will trip you up. You'll be sitting there going, blah, 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 blah. I'm serious. Believe that just as sure as I'm standing here. All right, look here. Again, he says, Lord, let me not be ashamed. Brethren, you will never, ever, even to eternity, have cause to rue or regret trusting the Lord. Never. You will never regret it, even to eternity. Take your Bible, go to Romans 9. Lord's not going to hang you out to dry. Ain't going to happen. Oh, you'll be tested. You will be tested. Because a faith without test has no value. Gold has to be tried in the fire. All right? You'll be tested. But if you hold true, God's not going to leave you, hang you out to dry. He's not going to hang you out to dry, brethren. He's not going to do it. Show me in that Bible where God left his people hanging who loved him, tried to serve him, tried to do right by him, honored him by faith. And God let them down. No. Oh, it might not have worked out in the time they wanted or the way they thought. And they had to be tested. God didn't let them down. I got one for you, brethren. I want you to think about this. You know, I'm glad that we can, probably for the most of us, I would imagine. I imagine most of us can probably get our groceries about a week ahead of time. You know, maybe some of you do it 2 weeks. I don't know how, you know, there's all kind of ways to get groceries today. But I'd say probably most of us, probably can go to the grocery store and get your groceries for the next upcoming week, probably. That's a blessing. Thank the Lord for it. But if you went home and all there was in the cupboards was enough for tonight, God's not let you down.
That's right.
He's not let you down. Give us this day our daily bread. Okay. But what about, I mean, there ain't nothing. That's just enough for tonight. Son, that's all you got tonight. You don't have tomorrow. When tomorrow becomes today, all right, we'll deal with it. But it's not here yet. God's not let you down. Brethren, if all you have is enough food for right now, God is not going against his word. God's not dropped you. God's not forgot about you. None of it. I told you one time it happened to us, you know. She was at the grocery store, you know. I took her there, and I'm going off doing something, you know, just kind of getting my finger, hands in my pockets and trying to find something to do while she's there doing it, you know. And I went back around, and she said, my wallet's gone. Because I hand her the grocery money. You know, I give her the grocery money because she gets the groceries, right? It'd be horrible if I tried to do that. This is just what we, she knows. She told me one time the other day, not too long ago, she said, you can't mess this up. She said, there's no way you can mess this up, right? I messed it up. I went to go get, and she's like, how did that happen? I said, I looked at the shelf. I thought that's what I was supposed to get, and I got it. She goes, I thought it was foolproof. I thought there's no way you'd mess that up. Anyway, somebody took her wallet there with the grocery money. And there was some stuff in the cart. She said, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to put it back on the shelf for one thing. And I said, we're going to go home. We're going to pray. We got food at the house. So we went home. And there was food there. And not just enough for that night, but there was food there. And we thanked the Lord for it and ate. Do you know, the next day, Stephen and Brad's grandpa called me up out of the blue and said, hey, I killed a hog over here. And I got a big mess of meat and some stuff. You want some of it? I said, oh, yeah, I'll take that. And God just took care of things for that week. Everything's fine. Everything, you know. I mean, seriously. What I'm saying to you, brethren, is look here. Listen. There was one time I remember we didn't have, we just wasn't there, man. There was no groceries. There wasn't nothing. And we got down in the living room and we prayed. And no more got up and I heard a. And one of my neighbors said, look, I've hurt my leg. Will you mow my yard and I'll give you $13? Well, that was some money to go get something. That was some money to go get something. Praise the Lord. Y'all, listen. And look here. That ain't nothing. That's just little small things in my life. I'm just telling you this. Listen, I'm glad we can usually get our groceries like we do. That's fine. But if it wasn't, God's not let you down. If you're looking, it's like, that's only enough for a day or 2 days. God's not dropped you. Give us this day our daily bread. Just because we get to operate under a certain series of circumstances, be careful that you don't take it that's how it has to be. Just be careful. That's all I'm saying. May God help us. May God help us to be like Paul, that we know how to be abased and we know how to bound. You got to know how to do both. You got to know how to do both in the right way. All right, look here. Romans 9, verse 33. Romans 9, 33. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Go to Romans 10, verse 10. I know you know it, but I'm afraid sometimes we kind of look at it maybe not the right correct way. Romans 10, verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich in all that call upon him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me tell you something. If you believe on Jesus Christ, if you trust Jesus Christ as Savior, you'll never be ashamed. So this has to deal with not just you personally being ashamed of him. It means also, look here, that you will never be ashamed. Let me put it this way. And this is horrible. This is horrible. It really is. Have you ever thought about what it's like when a jihadist, a suicide bomber, opens his eyes and realizes, I've been lied to, and it's too late. Do you understand what that's like for the Buddhist to depart this life? Everlasting shame. Can you imagine standing before God? Can you imagine standing before the Lord one day? Listen, when I took Jesus Christ as my Savior, I'll never have to be ashamed. I'm not talking about my service. I'm not talking about the job. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about my commitment to Christ. I'll never have to be ashamed of that in eternity, end on in forever and ever and ever. Amen. Never. Never. They're like, wow. I committed my life to. I trusted Jesus Christ, and look what it got me. Amen. Look what it got me. Look what it's got me, all right. Never be ashamed. Never. 1 Peter 2, real quick. 1 Peter 2. But a lot of things in this life bring shame to us. I trusted. Look what it got me. Brought shame. Not Christ. 1 Peter 2, verse 6. Wherefore all the sins are contained in the scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. The word confound in the dictionary means perplexed, dismayed, put to shame in silence. Never happen. It'll never happen. Oh, the enemy will pour it on. He'll try to get you to believe in phantom things that are there that aren't really real. He'll pour it on. But you'll trust in the Lord. You step out. And like David said, oh my God, I trust in thee. If you'll put your trust in the Lord, step out in faith and humility, you'll never regret it. You'll be tested. It may get dicey there, it seems. But you'll never regret it. You'll never say, God let me down. He dropped me. He wasn't true to his word. It never happened. It'll happen. You can rest on that. Listen, if there be a problem, 'tis not with God. Never. Never, not with him. I said, my dad, he's approaching death right now. But I'll tell you what, how thankful I am. One thing he drilled in my head as a kid. One thing he drilled in my head, son, look here. One thing he drilled in my head, God always does right. It was just something that was just there. So look here, you might not understand it, but God never does wrong. He always does right. I knew it. I found it to be so myself. Look here, Psalm 25, real quick. Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. As long as David puts his trust in the Lord and acts accordingly, there's no danger of this happening. His enemies won't triumph over him. And neither will they, you and I. Look at verse 3. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let me say to you, brethren, look what it says there. Look at the context of the thing. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. David had just been talking in verse 2 about trust and not being ashamed. Those that trust in God not be ashamed. Now in verse 3 he says, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Guess what that shows us? Trusting and waiting go hand in hand. They're kin. They're related to each other. If we trust, we will wait instead of running ahead in self-will. It was impatience that cost Saul the kingdom. Couldn't wait. Couldn't wait on Samuel like when he told him to. See, it's very interesting. Look at these two verses about let not my knees triumph over me. Let me not be ashamed. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Verse 2 says, Lord, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Verse 3, yet none that wait on thee be ashamed. They go together. Trust and waiting. Trust and waiting. They go together. They go together. Impatience, brethren, will cost you here. Cost you eternity. To wait, we know also in the dictionary, means to attend, to serve and obey. So this waiting is an active waiting. It's an active waiting that serves, but serves in faithful obedience, not in rash self-will. You understand? Trust and waiting, they go together. They're kinfolk. And the one that does that need not be ashamed, but they go together. Trust and waiting, not rushing ahead, not getting antsy and like, brother, how many times in your life? In mine, every time it's got me in a fix. That's why one of the greatest things you can teach your children to do from the time they're little with little things they can understand, wait. Wait. Learn that. You teach it to them in small incremental ways. Teach it to them and build upon it. And again, this waiting is an active waiting. It doesn't mean we sit there, just, you know. But it doesn't mean also that we act any way we want. We walk with God, and it's an active waiting with faithful obedience. Faithful obedience to His Word and as His Spirit guides us. Listen, David, notice that David, look what he says. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. He doesn't say here, in verse 2 he says, oh my God, I trust in thee, let me not be ashamed. Yet in verse 3 he says, yet let none that wait on thee be ashamed. You see, David entreats that not just himself, but that none who trust and wait upon the Lord be allowed to suffer shame for doing so. Notice that in this, it is thus implied that David doesn't consider himself the only one desiring to do right by God. Amen. You see, David doesn't say in both of in verse 2, he says, let me never be ashamed. Let me never be ashamed. But he doesn't say, Lord, let me who's waiting upon thee not be ashamed. No, he says that none. And I like that because you know what it shows to us? David does not consider that he's the only one out there loving God, desiring to do right by God. And you and I have to remember that. You know, Elijah, Lord, they all go, none but me. Oh, no, Elijah. No. No, it's not. And it's easy for us if we're not careful. I know it's a bad time. I know that. But brother, we got to be careful that we don't get ourselves into a closeted mindset that we're the only one. Don't do that. That's a dangerous thing. It could turn into a self-pity thing, which is a very dangerous thing to have happen. No, David says, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. All right? He says, then he closes up here. We're going to close up tonight with it. He says, let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. That's interesting, isn't it? He didn't just say, let them be ashamed which transgress. No, he says, let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Brother Doss, there can be a cause for transgression. Yes, not acceptable. It's not acceptable. But sometimes there's a cause. Look here. Transgression is wrong. It's always wrong. But it's worse when it's without cause. Well, when could there ever be cause? I'm glad you asked. Go to Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6. When could there ever be wrong to transgress? Well, you just hold on. You'll find out one day and maybe be a help to somebody then. I didn't say it's excusable. I didn't say it's not wrong. It's wrong. But sometimes there's cause. Proverbs 6, look at verse 30. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. There's a cause. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. Do you see that? Excusing it? No, sir. He's going to pay the price. Understanding it? Yeah, the man was hungry. You don't let him off. No, he's got to learn. He's got to learn. He's got to learn he should have prayed. He's got to learn he should have got right with God. He's got to learn. He's got to learn. But you understand. Goodness, the man was hungry. And that tempers how you deal with people. Because be like, man, I hope I wouldn't do that. But I can imagine if my belly was hurting that bad and crying out, they're telling us what I might do. You understand? You understand? So what I'm saying is, listen. If a man transgressed, a man stole something because he's hungry, now he's got to pay. He done wrong. But if somebody got here and steal, it ain't because they hungry. They just, boy, that moves that thing to another level too. So the Bible speaks here of them that transgress without cause. Brethren, let me just say this. God forbid that we give someone cause to transgress. But remember, your cause does not excuse your transgression. Cause does not mitigate consequences. It helps us to understand, and our heart goes out, and it makes it to where it's not as reprehensible, but it's still wrong. There's still consequences. Go to Hosea 4. Hosea 4. Hosea 4. Hosea 4, verse 13. Hosea 4, verse 13. They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains and burn incense upon the hills under oaks and poplars and elms because the shadow there was good. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom and your spouses shall commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery. For themselves are separated with whores and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore the people that do not understand shall fall. Does God say it's okay? Of course not. They still have to answer to him for that. He's just saying right there at this instant, he was not going to outwardly punish them for it because they had been allowed to be separated with them. The Lord would not punish them, but they still have to face him one day with it. They still have to deal with the shame, the pain, the hurt, the rejection. Brethren, sin never profits. How much more dangerous to transgress when not with not even something legitimately to drive you to it. Still wrong. But a man with a hungry belly, it'll drive him to it. And men understand that, but it doesn't mitigate the consequences of it. But brethren, to do so when there's not even cause, that thing moves that thing up to another level. Brethren, you know the Bible says the Lord weigheth the spirits. Lord weigheth the spirits. God's not just looking at what was done. Oh, he sees that. But he also sees what else enters in to the scenario with that thing. Why, over there in 1 Corinthians 11. Well, they were all guilty of the same thing, not discerning the Lord's body and taking the Lord's Supper. Some God took out. Some were only sick. There were different levels of that thing. Well, God knew where they were all at. And that worked in the circumstances there. And it's the same thing here. Now, y'all look here. Listen, if you have something pressing you, okay, but that still didn't excuse you to do wrong. It doesn't. It doesn't. It doesn't. But how much more so? Look here. I'm trying to finish up here. But you take knowledge, that the young man that will stay with you. Knowledge. There's some things if knowledge would do that would be wrong. Okay, they'd be wrong. But you got to look at his situation too. He's wrong. He's wrong. There's always to it. Got to pay a price for it. But if one of y'all did what he did, it's worse for you. Though man would just call it as it's right there, but God sees, wait a minute, that boy has had no direction. He has no understanding. He don't know up from down hardly. It's wrong. He has to pay a price. But it's different for you. You understand that? You can't just go and say, well, you know what? Oh, no, 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 no. It's a different deal. My dad, I've been thinking about my dad a lot lately. That's understandable. I'll never forget one time. My dad never talked about his past. He never talked about what he was like before he got saved. He was ashamed of it. I never knew a lost dad. He got saved in 52. I was born in 1964. So I never knew a lot. I'm thankful for that. And he never told me about it. But one time, a relative told me something my dad done, right? And I forgot what kind of bonehead thing I did. And I remember looking at my dad, I started to say, well, you went, and he stopped me. And he said, I was lost and didn't know better. You know better. What'd you say? Nothing, but I swallowed my tongue. Because I realized, oh, Lord, he's right. Oh, he's right. What am I going to say? I can't say nothing to that. It's a different deal. Young folks, please listen. There's an accountability that comes with knowing and being under right influence. And if in your mind you say, I wish I didn't know it then, don't you understand that whole outlook's wrong? You ought to thank God the head start that you're getting on things that's going to allow you to grab hold and go. You come to the Lord, there's a lot of things that God ain't got to work through in your life. You can take off with it. Man, as a pastor, you know what you deal with? You deal with folks who get saved, but salvation takes care of eternity. It doesn't replace the raising we were supposed to get. And then you got to watch God give people a raising. And he's able to do it. Woo! It's a rough deal sometimes. When it could have been done younger so they got saved, they could run. A lot of times they can't. Glory to God, they're saved. But their character's never been developed. There are things there, and God can do it and does if they'll let him. But it's a bit of a more process. You're getting a head start on things. Come to the Lord. There's some things you got down. You ought to thank God for it. You ought to thank God for it and take advantage of it. All right. What does it say, Psalm 25? Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, help us with these principles. Thank you so much, Father, for inspiring your servant David, dear God, to pen such words. And Father, help us, Lord, to understand these things and mull over them and chew on them, meditate on them. And Lord, just see how your spirit will direct us, dear God, to make application to our lives. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy, Lord. Pray you'll dismiss us with your blessings and Lord, just be with the brethren, Lord, this week and the different things that they'll confront and undertake. Father, we ask this in the Lord Jesus' name and please for his sake.